Gatlin.
Okay, well, we have made our way to the Curtis Lincoln stand here. No sign of Neil at present, but Lou, what are you explaining to Katie?
Just looking, it's interesting this, but we looked at a caption earlier on the Ladies in Pigs stand of the carcass of a pig when freshly killed, showing the shoulder, the leg, the loin, where the chops come from, and the belly. And we're just explaining here that once it's cured, smoked, etc., how it's turned into these super carcasses of bacon.
And we just mentioned the legend that was Neil Curtis, and lo and behold, he has appeared. Yes.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, very well, living here. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you.
And can we introduce you to Katie Grimmison, of course.
Hello. Hello. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Lou, questions for Neil.
They're still lean, these carcasses, aren't they? Remember last year?
Yes, I will agree. The judge went on towards the leaner side of things, which is commercially, yes, people want today, but... I think from more your mind choice, we would lay a bit more fat on for a bit more flavour.
Yeah, it's still nice to see you, though, and nice to have the students here to explain. As I say, we'll be just down at the Ladies in Pigs, looking at the carcass of a freshly butchered pig,
yeah.
i.e. loin, belly, leg, shoulder. And just to explain here how once the meat is cured, as we call it, and turned into bacon, how the names of the various cuts, when we talk about streaky rather than belly and things
That. They change because... In actual fact, the meat has changed itself because it's gone under a process, and it's a different type of meat. Because when you cook the bacon or the cured meat, it turns pink, and that's because of nitrate actually in the cure, and gives it the pinky colour. And that's also helps preserve it. You see, not only you've got nitrate, you've got the salt as well, and that helps preserve it because years ago they obviously didn't have refrigeration, and this is a way of old-fashioned way of keeping meat.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because it's been an eye-opener for me because I'm quite picky with meat and I don't like to see how all this goes on, but it's really interesting.
Well, it is because you see, most people nowadays see bacon either in the butcher's shop or in a supermarket counter as a pack and don't realise how it gets from whole pig to actual fat into the cuts which you normally see in the butchers or the supermarkets. And this is the way it's education, where different cuts are, and of course different what people want nowadays, whether you want it for boiling bacon, so like from the shoulder, or whether you want from the gammon for roasting, and for larger joints.
Yeah, I'm quite hungry now.
There we are, you see. Obviously Curtis Lincoln continuing in its own routine. A good year, Neil, overall?
Yeah, it's not bad at all. The quality, we had a good number of entries this year, which is encouraging to see. So you know, all from all over the counties and a little bit beyond. So we're very pleased with the entries today. And weather-wise, it's been very warm yesterday. Today's a lot cooler, a lot more fresher. Which I've been walking around a lot better, I think. But we'll see what happens later on.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy this every year because this is taking me back to the beginning when this was the way. If you wanted to get meat and you wanted to get through the winter, you're looking at what you had to do. And when gentlemen explain it, you know, it all comes home then.
Yeah, because we actually still sell the dry cured bacon, whereby the piece of meat has been left in salt for about a month. And you know, that's the old way where people used to sort of keep up the sort of pecking stick near the chimney breast and just carve a bit, or in the pantry, and carve a bit of a time and stick it in the frying pan. And we still do that. Obviously, demand is for that type of cut is getting less and less. But, you know, necessary, we still do it.
Neil, as ever, an insight beyond compare into the butcher world. Of course, Curtis is a Lincoln family, bakers and butchers, since 1828.
Yes, that's right. We've been part of the seventh generation involved in the business. And, you know, and we started off as pork butchers and diversified in the 1900s into bakers. And bakery is now a bit more stronger than the butchery side, I think, but we still sell... fair amount of meat.
So really, with just 129 Lincolnshire shows, really they're just the new kids on the block, really, making comparison.
Yeah, that is really very true, lad.
Now, considering a show without Bracken Hill Fine Foods, I would hesitate to suggest is based, or I would actually sort of say it's almost inconceivable, really. We're delighted as ever to speak to
Neil Maycock.
Neil, good to connect with your good self. Jill, of course, is off supporting one of the team who's actually jumping at present.
Yes, one of the girls that works for us is jumping in the ring, so Jill's watching.
Well, Hannah O'Brien, who was with us last year, actually is featured in the June calendar, actually tasting one of the Bracken Hill farm foods. So obviously Katie will be following through with that. Katie, questions?
What's your favourite chutney?
The chutney?
Yeah.
One of mine is the red hot onion one, but it is very hot. It's not for the faint hearted.
It wouldn't be me,
Lou?
By all means, try.
Yeah, it's my first experience of what a range that you do. So, okay, catering question. I noticed all the different products. How big a batch will you cook, stroke, create at a time?
About 120 to 150 jars in a batch.
Technical point, but right. So yeah, it's cement mixer style. It's big Hobart style. Yeah, got you. I've got you. And your most popular sales would be
the red onion marmalade in the chutneys, lemon curd, and in the jams. Raspberry, strawberry, run-of-the-mill.
Okay, well, Katie is our official taster today. She's worked through fresh fruit, sausages and various other bits and pieces. What would you recommend now?
Try the three berry one there is a new one. That's a mixture of gooseberries, strawberries and raspberry.
Okay, so this could be crucial. We'll get the photo option. Is there an etiquette for this? No, she's going for this. Okay.
Really nice.
Not really nice. There we are.
Thank you.
That means it's good. Nice, really nice.
Give it five and I'll buy it.
Exactly.
Fucking my accent.
Would I?
Outrageous. Yeah. So good stuff from that sort of point of view. As ever, a delight. Where are you going to be? Will you be at the Great Yorkshire? I mean, we say this every year.
We don't do the Great Yorkshire. The next one that we're at, show wise, will be Driffield Show.
It's a nice show.
Okay, well, we'll do the usual photo shoots once again. Neil from Brackenhill Farm Foods, a genuine pleasure, and we'll see you again very soon.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
So here we are, the University of Lincoln campus. Ed, you're a postgraduate student there. I'm a senior academic there. Your thoughts on the stand?
It's very, very spacious. It smells very, very nice in here. Good floral displays and fresh fruit being cut up and all sorts of things over in the corner there. So, yeah, very nice to be here.
We're going to catch up with Julie Corden, of course, one of our regular co-presenters as well. But for the moment, we're speaking to...
Hi, I'm Claire Mann. I work within the marketing office at the university.
Yeah, you see, you say, hi, I'm Claire Mann. You put that to one side. You're in the postgraduate marketing area. And Gary Stevens and, of course, myself are always keen that sort of job that you'll actually be doing, etc. And you're also responsible for producing those wonderful MA Community Radio leaflets recently.
Yes, the leaflets with Angie Smith and Laura McCarthy to try and promote the courses. We're very keen that people understand that the journalism programmes that we do are really popular and that people without journalism degrees can come on to our postgraduate journalism degrees because obviously they're taught the skills on the programme.
Let's just hold it there, Claire, because with Ed doing the MA Community Radio, which is the programme leader, Ed, how did you actually sign up for the MA Community Radio programme? It's going to be useful market research for Claire.
As it happens, I was researching something completely different about editing online, and a banner advertising came up on the top of the site, and it said MA Community Radio, University of Lincoln. And this was when I was living in London, and I'm from Lincoln, and I thought, no, it can't possibly be. It must be Lincoln somewhere else in the world. But I pressed it, phoned Alex, who phoned me back within about 20 seconds, and the rest is history. Came back straight away.
Efficiency, you see, Claire.
We're always very excited to be able to tell people about that we've got an on-site community radio station, whether we're talking to undergraduate or postgraduate students, professor students, and that we have, you know, we're lucky in the suites of facilities that we've got at the University of Lincoln.
Now, Katie is an undergraduate going to her third year of American Studies. I've been gently saying MA Community Radio, haven't I?
Yes, you have.
You know, we're interested in radio, etc. What are the bonuses for students who are already at Lincoln if they decide to go the postgraduate route? Because there's quite some incentives.
Yeah, there's a lot of incentives. I think that one of them is the working with the academic members of staff and their knowledge and their contacts and networks, and really the employability skills that you get from doing a master's and a postgraduate. And we know from some research that was conducted quite recently, some independent research, that the higher the qualification, the more people will earn. So there's some real financial rewards there long term.
Well, I'm also thinking about the fact that if you are a student at the University of Lincoln already, there will be a kind of bursary, although it's certainly a reduction in terms of fees, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a scholarship available for our alumni students, for UK and international. Obviously, they vary, so just check our website for details. There's also an academic scholarship. So if you have a first-class degree or a 2-1 and you haven't graduated from the University of Lincoln, then there's also a slight reduction in fees for the academic bursary.
Ed, questions?
Yes, indeed. I just noticed in the corner one of your greatest selling points and achievements of late. We interviewed you on Drive Time, I think, about this a while ago. The RHS Gold Medal that you award for the Twitter Garden. What an amazing idea.
Yeah, it was really exciting. I personally didn't have any involvement in this, but we were quite keen on following it on Twitter, as everyone else was, I think, and looking at what digital capabilities did. It's really exciting looking at interactive technology and how we can, even with the Chelsea Flower Show, how we can integrate that into, you know, things that are usually quite traditional.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. I mean, the idea, I think, was that the more people tweeted about it, the more of the garden was exposed. And so forth. What happened to, do you know what happened to that garden? Where it is now? I mean, can you just pick it up and bring it back to Lincolnshire? I think possibly.
Virtual cyberspace, presumably.
It's lost.
Yeah.
Claire, I feel as though finally, after about 15, 20 years of sort of seeing your name on emails and various other bits and pieces, I mean, I've been with the university since 93, so just a wee bit before yourself. But it's good to finally meet you.
And you. Have a good day.
It's the next generation.
We've just heard a wonderful line that this next sort of agency gets more articles written about them than any other insect repellents combined. We're talking about Incognito, Anti-Mosquito, and we're talking to...
David.
David, share with us, why is this safer, stronger and superior?
It's safer because it's a 100% natural product. It can be used safely by children, by babies, by people with skin allergies. But it's actually stronger than any of the DEET-based products. The scientific testing has been done by the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine and the Bill Gates Malarial Foundation. We've been proved to be the most effective insect repellent on the market. The DEET that people have normally used up until now is becoming less and less effective. If you Google BBC DEET or BBC Mosquito, you'll find the latest scientific reports. Our product has 100% efficacy over 7 to 8 hours in free-flying conditions. In the cage test, a cage full of hungry mosquitoes, we had 100% efficacy over 5 hours, which is better than 60% DEET, where they were feeding after the 4 hours. This is the future of insect repellent.
Ed. I'm just looking at your stand there. You've got more than one product. So as well as a repellent, do you also specialise in things to heal when it perhaps doesn't work? I'm sure it always does.
It's got 100% of efficacy. Yes. It always works.
Yeah, so what else can we see on the stand behind us? In fact, we can walk over, can we?
We have a whole range of product. Citrapel 75... This is the concentrated extract, Eucalyptus maculata citradora. This is the strongest insect repellent available. All our other products, you can attract insects by the pheromones. This is the smell that you put off. The more active you are, the more pheromones you produce. A mosquito can detect a pheromone from a kilometre downwind. The rest of our products, we have here the... The latest product is the insect
deodorant
stick. This is the first time an essential oil has been encapsulated in a crystal. If you use this wherever you're sweating, it will disguise you from the insects so they cannot sense you. Insects can also be attracted by the deodorant you use, the perfume, aftershave, soap and shampoo. By using our range of products, you get an unprecedented level of protection.
Which is fantastic. So again, the website that people can find out more about this is?
lessmosquito.com. We say less mosquito with Incognito.